Welcome to the Peace Growth Here podcast. I'm your host, Yelena Theofilatos, with my Blooming Heart Hypnotherapy and Coaching. And this is a place for you if you're looking for business strategies, emotional wellness, advice, and stories from fellow ladies entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Hello, welcome back to the Peace Growth Here podcast. I'm your host, Yelena Theofilatos, with my Blooming Heart Hypnotherapy and Coaching, which is the name of my practice. And in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about the importance of regulating your nervous system to help yourself when it comes to anxiety. This is the third episode in the series, which I called Regulate First, Think Later. Regulate First, Think Later. Later. The previous two solo episodes of mine were dedicated to, first of all, sharing with you what it means to be stuck in anxiety and fear cycle. And the second one of them was about how to quit the worry habit. And before I get into the topic of today's episode, I want to really quickly go over what I shared in those previous two episodes so that you understand where we at in this mantra, regulate first, think later, and why it is so helpful and effective to remember, to hold on to it when it comes to healing anxiety. So regulate first, think later. What is it about? First of all, it's about shedding light on how anxiety is born in the brain. It's born as a result of a cycle between fear and worry. Fear is the response that our emotional part of the brain, our nervous system, has in reaction to something uncertain, something that potentially threatening. And worrying is something that we do as our knee-jerk reaction to also uncertainty of some kind. We are a lot of times compelled to try to think our way out of potentially tricky situation. And a lot of times we end up driving ourselves deeper into anxiety because we don't realize the interplay between the fear in our body and the worrying thoughts, how they feed on each other and perpetuate anxiety indefinitely unless we stop and realize that we can actually exit that cycle and calm ourselves down in a much more effective way. So that was the first episode in this series. The second episode was about encouraging you not to try to think your way out of anxiety. And I was explaining how calm that is not productive. Mainly, I was talking about how trying to think our way out of anxiety turns into worrying, and worrying becomes a habit. And what I mean by the habit is a mechanism that seems like it's having some kind of a benefit, a reward in regards to our survival for our brain. So our brains try to hold on to it because it now thinks that it's doing the right thing by worrying. And in the last episode, and this is a really good one for everyone to check out, but especially if you find yourself having a hard time stopping to worry and doing it habitually. So in that episode, I shared about at least three so-called rewards that worrying can have for our brain that gets it hooked on it. And those are, number one, worrying allows us to avoid feeling fear, which is uncomfortable. And our brain likes that because it's all about avoiding unpleasant sensations, and it hooks on worrying how, like, an avoidance strategy for the sensations of fear themselves. Then worrying can promise us an increased sense of control. When we worry, we feel like we're actually controlling the situation a little better, while in reality, we're not really adding to any kind of control whatsoever. And thirdly, also worrying can give us this sense of like we are doing something, we are actually problem solving, while we're a lot of times just chewing on very similar kind of thoughts in terms of the content. They might change a bit with some variation, but They're not really about creating a plan of actions, which is a real problem solving, but they are have a tendency to get scarier, scary, and scary as we go deeper into that cycle between fear and worry. But for a moment there, they can give us this feeling, oh, I'm actually doing something. And that doing is so much more rewarding for us human beings that needs to be channeling our energy, our problem-solving energy in some way or fashion to feel like we are getting through this situation. We are actually applying ourselves to solve it. So those three benefits get our brain hooked on worrying a little more than we would want to. And then it's not surprising that it's so hard to imagine not to worry as a first reaction to an uncertain situation that normally causes anxiety in you. But ultimately, over and over again, in my personal experience and in helping other people to deal with anxiety, I see more and more the validity of releasing that habit of thinking our way through of anxiety and worrying and turning towards the nervous system first and foremost. And then when our nervous system feels calmer and regulated, coming back to thinking, which then is much more likely to be actual problem solving and not worrying. So, what it is about our nervous system that is important for us to know to break through the cycle between fear and worry and release anxiety effectively? First of all, we don't necessarily have to know everything about how nervous system operates and et cetera, although that is very helpful. But just for today, I want you to walk away with the technique that is based on nervous system regulation that you can start applying right away in your life. And that technique starts with learning about this concept that has originated in polyvagal theory, which is called neuroception. Neuroception is the mechanism that always runs on the background for us in our systems, scanning our outside and inside environment for signs of cues of danger, ready to shift the energies and, let's say, from what the place where we rested and like receiving and open and like super regulated in that way, it can quickly give us energy to fly or flee if we need to shift into this sympathetic activation and get going just to bring us back to safety. That system is always on the lookout for cues of danger, gauging how should we be in this particular situation. Should we be more on guard, or it's okay to be relaxed? And of course, it's saved many lives and have served us really well, all the way from our ancestors till now, to keep us safe, basically. And the technique that's based on this notion of neuroception, just becoming aware of this process that running at all times in the background and has a vast influence on our thinking. It's not just the bodily sensations, because on the basis of that process, on the basis of the cues that it's picking up on automatically at all times, our nervous system shifts from feeling safe to feeling a little threatened. Our thinking shift drastically on a basis of that. When you are feeling regulated, safe, and relaxing, I don't know, drinking your tea and just staring outside of the window, that's a very different place from an anxiety feel place where there's a lot of energy, there's a lot of thoughts, there's a lot of movement towards putting those thoughts into action. It's all because now your system has all the energy to get going. What if you see somebody, let's say you're looking out of the window and you see like someone getting beaten up? I don't know. That's not really that of a greater experience, but still, like, perhaps if you're a strong, big guy and you see that it's easy for you to help somehow the situation and just call the police, let's say if you're a petite little woman, you get up, you get going, you call that number, you explain everything. There is such a surge energy within you, and it's for a reason. But it also turns your mind into thinking about, okay, I gotta solve this, I gotta do this now, and da 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 da. And it's very helpful. The problem is with anxiety, a lot of that energy gets channeled into worry thoughts. And since our system is no longer feeling safe, it feels a little threatened, our quality of our thoughts will also have a tendency to get negative. And if we dwell on them too much without regulating our nervous system first, they will have a tendency to get darker and darker, and in their turn have a of more of a disregulatory effect, I guess, on our nervous system. And the th next thing you know, let's say if personal example, you started off by worrying about something that is minor. The next thing you know, if you're not taking any time to pause and regulate yourself, you are totally sucked into the vortex of those thoughts that is darker one after another, just being pumped by your mind, because it's operating on the basis of that nervous system that is very much activated, doesn't feel safe anymore. And no wonder that we start thinking about a scary thing that may happen that might never actually happen. It's just because in this particular time, this is what our nervous system is on the lookout for, danger. And we start seeing it everywhere. And if you understand that this is where you add in your nervous system, you won't be surprised, first of all, if you notice some of those thoughts pop up, the one that's a little kind of a on a scarier side. You will just have an understanding of what's going on in your body in that system and in that moment, and then take those thoughts with a grain of salt. And that's basically what the technique is about. First of all, you start noticing your body shifting into more of a stressed out kind of feeling threatened mode. You're no longer as regulated as you were before. Maybe you were doing something around the house, you were activated, and you're not like lounging around to start off. But here you are. Let's say you saw an email that is not so benign for whatever reason, and you're noticing the shift in your physiology. There's maybe some tension that start to develop, the heart beat faster, your palms get sweaty. There's a lot of cues that we can pick up on to notice that our nervous system is shifts from feeling regulated, feeling safe, to getting slightly at the beginning dysregulated, kind of getting a little too activated, a little more activated that would be comfortable for us to handle. It's not yet overwhelmed, but it is getting, as I said, overly activated. And at that moment, we need to decide for ourselves that we're not gonna worry, first of all, and then it's okay. It's okay. Our nervous system just doing its job and responding to the cue in our environment. And so we have to pause there for a moment and not to make the mistake that a lot of us make is when we notice those sensations of tension, of our heart beating fast and et cetera, we take it as signs of danger as well, as a cue of danger a lot of times. And then whatever the cue on the outside get added to the cues that we're feeling on the inside, and our discomfort only grows in response to both. There's a moment there that you can pause it and feel into this whole process, kind of zoom into it, stretch it out, and realize that this is just your system responding to the internal cues of that tension building up and to the external cues, and it's sliding in dysregulation. And remind yourself, like, huh, okay, right. And I'm in this state, and I know that in this state, I'm much more prone to worst case scenarios, blowing out things out of their proportion, jumping to conclusion, etc. And this is a great moment to stop thinking and start doing, choose a somatic technique that is sort of bypasses thinking there for a moment and goes straight into the body. so that you calm your body first, you bring your nervous system back to balance, back to feeling safe, and after that, you can go back to thinking. So, in terms of those techniques that you can use to shift yourself back into the regulated place, there is a whole lot of them out there. And I have my 10 of my favorite ones that I want to share with you today that you can use. Not necessarily everywhere. Some of them you might need a little bit more privacy than for others. But for the most part, I have a lot of confidence that if you start experimenting with them, you will see a noticeable shift. So let me just give you the list of them and I'll go through them really quickly without demonstrating, but just giving you a little more details about each one. And then I'm going to put the whole list in the show notes for this episode for sure. So the first one is the one that I personally love the most. It's called butterfly hug, is when you put your hands on your shoulders, like the left hand on the right shoulder, the right hand on the left shoulder, and you start gently tapping. And there's a lot of beautiful science about it, about the tapping, the bilateral stimulation that goes into that. You can look it up when you have a moment. But even just with a hug itself, it feels really good to soften into the embrace. And we don't really have to have anybody around us to provide ourselves with this gentle release, gentle soothing gesture. So butterfly hug, maybe add a few words of compassion to yourself in this very moment and remind yourself that you're safe and that you're strong and all other things that you want to say to yourself. And the next thing, the next technique that you can do while hugging yourself or just while you are occupied, maybe your hands are doing something else like washing the dishes, is when you hum and you sing. Humming and singing activates our vagus nerve, which you perhaps have heard about before. Vagus nerve is the not just one nerve, it's a whole network of nerves. It begins at the base of our skull and go all the way through the throat, the heart, intestines, and it passes through the voice box on a way. So when we sing and when we hum, especially something that is very pleasant and reassuring and reaffirming, focusing fully on the words and on the feeling of singing, on the soothing feeling of that activity, that activates our vagus nerve and brings regulating stimulation to our nervous system bit by bit. So feel free to try that while you're hugging yourself or just humming away at any point when you can. Another great technique is facial massage, is when you focus especially on your jaw and bring some awareness to the tension that you might be holding there. And then you can massage your ears. You can just go and try to massage different places in your face, whatever feels good to you, kind of with a gentle pressing on it. You can also keep giving yourself massage and massage your hands, your arms, your forearms, or whatever feels like could be regulating for you in this very moment, and bring yourself back into the body, into the comfortable sensation that will inform your neuroception, inform your nervous system that this is a good time to slide back into feeling safe and regulated. And the technique number four would be a physiological sigh, they call it. First of all, when our nervous system shifts back into more of a regulated state, perhaps you already noticed that about yourself, we naturally sigh. There's a like a deeper involuntary breath that we don't necessarily think of taking. I have definitely noticed myself doing it many times throughout the day when I finally have a moment to like transition into more of a relaxed and less activated state. It's our nervous system pausing, kind of pressing on the brakes there for a moment, resetting itself. And you can do it deliberately. You don't have to wait for your nervous system to do that. You can just take a slow, deep inhalation and sigh out and do as many of those as necessary. I also recommend to experiment with a bunch of those techniques at the same time for a compounded effect. The next one, continuing on with using our breath for relaxation. Of course, you have heard about that before. Deep belly breath is something that is very calming for our nervous system, not for all nervous systems, just throw it out there. Some nervous systems are not fond of that. So again, if somebody tells you, oh, deep diaphragmatic breathing is so great for you, feel free to try. But if it's not something that is yummy for your nervous system, don't beat yourself up. Just try something else. A lot of times, we think that we just have to s stick with what everybody's doing, but that it's really not that true. Then the next one is we get into a little more of a movement here to channel that surplus of energy generated by the sympathetic activation by releasing it into shaking and bouncing, maybe like jumping around a little bit, skip around, just get that energy out. Of course, choose the pace that feels good to you. Don't overdo it. Find perhaps a place where you can do it alone and get some shaking and bouncing going and breathe through it, release the tension, and feel a little more relaxed as a result of that. The next technique is from the world of yoga. Maybe you heard of it. There is a pose called Legs Up the Wall. That's its English translation. It's when you lay next to the wall and your bum parallel to the wall, and then you put both of your legs up on that wall and relax and just breathe and let go. This pose activates relaxation response in our body, and I really highly recommend to do it like every day after your work day for 10 minutes. It's just magical. Does wonders, but it's also very effective when you are feeling that anxiety coming on and noticing those cues for your nervous system shifting into more of a dysregulated state and being kind of a little too activated. And couple more, I have only three more left, I guess. Heart-centered breath. That was inspired, of course, by, I would imagine, ancient Buddhist practices, by picked up by Heart Math Institute, which studies the heart rate as it connected to our general sense of well-being. And they found that if we would imagine ourselves breathing in and out of our heart's space, as if we had nostrils in that area, we will feel calmer. And there's also science of polyvagal theory of nervous system regulation that confirms that, because vagus nerve passes through our heart. It actually, the nerve that regulates our heart pace. So when we're focusing on that space and breathing, and maybe even sending ourselves some love and compassion and understanding, that definitely have a beautiful regulating effect on our system. So now the two, and they'll be done for now with the techniques that you can go ahead and try. Another one that involves movement is dancing and gentle yoga. Dancing, of course, pick your music. Fine, even if just 5 minutes, and let it out. Ideally, that nobody can see you, but if they do, just dance like there's nobody looking at you. And the movement of some sort that is not too activated, but again, find the rhythm that will feel good to your nervous system, that will be enough for you to be occupied and not bored, you know, but not too activating to push you further into the sympathetic activation. So like a cat cow, maybe you heard about the cat cow flow in yoga. This is a great one to start with and go from there. Synchronize it with your breath and bring some relaxation to your system once again. And lastly, the last technique is, because I definitely know how effective it is, but it's definitely not my favorite because I don't like cold. And it's about exposing yourself to cold temperatures, or a compress, like taking a cold shower, or just like splashing cold water in your face. That actually very effective to, again, engage the vagus nerve and shift your whole state from being so preoccupied and dysregulated into more regulated space. It's like resets our whole nervous system. So If you're one of those people who've been wanted to start toning, like their body with the cold water, that could be a great incentive to add that kind of a practice that is good for your immune system, besides a lot of things. So, yeah, there was my top 10, or maybe 9, because I'm not really a fan of the cold one, but I just know that it's really super beneficial and effective. And the idea is to catch yourself as you are starting to get dysregulated, you by paying attention to the cues, and plug one of those or two or three of those techniques in without thinking too much. And then when you're through with those activities, when you feel like, oh, okay, it feels a little better, I feel a little more relaxed, this is a time for me to go back to thinking and create a plan. And still watch out if that thinking dysregulates you more. And if you need to, again, pull back from the thinking, you'll go back to the body and regulate it some more. And then go back to thinking. It's a bit of a dance that you're doing that ensures that your thinking is actually productive in this moment and it's not driving you deeper into more anxiety and not less, as we hope. So that is it for now. And this completes my series of those three episodes about what I mean when I say regulate and think later. It is to drop the thinking and regulate, go through the body to bring it back to that place of safety, and then add rational mind to it where it has a chance to stay rational, because there is not so much fear that is heating it up that you're filtering everything through, as opposed to when we're dysregulated. There is a lot of that fear that can skew our perceptions and get us wrapped into that anxiety provoking thoughts even deeper for no reason. Because ultimately, we got to remember that we are super resourceful, we're strong, we have done it before, we have overcome difficult things, and we can do it again. And if we regulate our nervous system first and put thinking aside just for now, we'll be able to deal with whatever situation we're dealing with more energy, just because we don't waste it on worrying. But we're conserving it and actually maybe even increasing that energy by doing something that is nourishing for our nervous system. And from that point on, you got this. You can do this. That's just my, guess those few last words that everybody share in the end of their podcast for today for you to chew on. If you really like this podcast, feel free to subscribe and leave me a review. I really love and appreciate when people take a moment and leave a review on Spotify, which not even made a word. It's like a star review. You just takes 3 clicks and that's it. And an Apple review, if you have some words of encouragement, please share away. This helps me to stay enthusiastic about the subject and keep sharing it with other people so that we can empower ourselves by self-understanding what's going on within us and move through stormy times in our lives in one piece. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll be talking to you next time. If you haven't found me yet on Instagram, please do. My Instagram is My Blooming Heart Hypnotherapy. And feel free to send me a DM and let me know what kind of topic in regards to anxiety related to anxiety you want to hear more about. All ears. Thank you so much. And if you like this episode, you can help me to spread the word about it. Feel free to leave a review and share about it with a friend. I really appreciate your support. Thank you.